Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh. Call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, is it going to be a fun Thursday around Atlanta? It's going to be a fun Thursday, a fun Friday, a fun... It's going to be Saturday and Sunday. This town is a rockin' as of late last night. And what happened at SunTrust Park and then what happened in San Jose. Welcome to the morning show from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh. It's a lot to chop up today. It's going to be a big show. Normally, it is a big show, you. Today going to be just this much bigger when you get Michael Vick coming into studio.
All right. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. Yeah, Michael Vick's coming into the studio today. He's the offensive coordinator to the new, AAF team?
AAF?
Yes. To the new AAF team. So it's going to be an exciting day.
It's going to be a very exciting day. What a day yesterday. I mean, this is how Wednesday, we knew that this was going to be a huge week. Because of everything that's going on in town and the laundry list of major events. If you can't find a major sporting event in this town this week, I don't know what's going on. But it began yesterday with the Braves when they won at SunTrust Park to finally get off the schneid and get rolling again and cut that magic number. Now, the Phils did win last night. The magic number sits at 6 this morning. But then late last night, Atlanta United won 4-3, a controversial win.
Did you stay up and watch that one?
No. Did you?
Yeah, I mean, no.
You
no,
when, on, when he did.
Yeah, Wendy had a party.
Yeah, you had a party?
No, I sure didn't.
No, she had no, a watch, I was she had a watch my eyelids party.
Yeah, it was 9 o'clock. Yeah, I was
No, yeah, I kind of did that too. For whatever reason, I guess this whole radio talk show thing ties you out a little bit. Running your mouth all day kind of ties you out a little bit.
Well, when you got to get up at like dark 30.
And yeah, I was in the bed by 8:30. I didn't even eat. Last night, you know how... Has anybody ever been like in a situation? I'm pretty sure you've never been in this situation with you, where you're so tired that you do not want to eat. Like you're hungry.
I did that 2 days ago. Like I didn't eat dinner.
Like, D, have you ever been that? Like you're so hungry, but you're tired. You don't want to eat because last night I wanted a Jimmy John's sandwich so bad. I wanted one of those provolone on wheat. And Jimmy John's is like right down the street from me.
And they're freaky fast.
Like for real, I didn't know how fast they were because they don't put no heat on their sandwiches. But that's not a bad thing because they make some really good sandwiches. Man, I was so tired, I couldn't even. I was like, listen, I really want this sandwich, but it's going to take about what? Maybe 10 minutes to get this sandwich, 15 at the most. I couldn't hold on for 15 minutes.
I was done. Because you can't even think to chew. You're so tired.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah. I couldn't even think. And all I had to do was just get online and order it real quick, and they would have sent it. But I was like, no,
I'm good. You couldn't have just, like, made yourself a sandwich real quick?
Not like Jimmy John's.
No, not like Jimmy John's.
Not like Jimmy. Because they put it's like the overload of the roast beef with the provolone. Man, I ain't have all that. I ain't have all those accoutrements to make a sandwich.
See, and that's the best thing about being married is sandwiches.
I don't
because mine are better than the ones they make.
Yeah,
in the store.
I remember wife's sandwiches. I remember those sandwiches. Like, it's certain things about like being married I do miss. The wife's sandwich is one of them because it's made with a different kind of. It's made with love. But you know what? Hey, my refrigerator is bare, like it always is, so it's cool. That's how I like it.
But what a day! Tiger in town today. Tiger tees off at 12:30 today, and I will be there. With the priests, because the priests are in town last night. I had to go pick him up at the airport, and we had to go have dinner. I had a great dinner last night, and the blessing and all that kind of good stuff. So I will be absolved of anything that I have done wrong here in the next few days, all right? I'm just telling you, by the time I come back in next Monday, I will be washed pure of the sin of the world.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah, that's good. Because you're about to probably get it in this weekend.
So we'll be at the golf tournament today. So the Tour Championship begins this morning. First tee time at the East Lake is at 11:40 this morning. Tiger will tee off at 12:30. and of course 30 players, because my mom and her husband George, they were looking at the tee times going, why are they teeing off so late? You know, why is 11:40? And I said, because there's only 30 players. And she's like, oh. And normally you'd have like 90 and they'd be teeing off by 7:15, 7:30 in the morning. As soon as it gets light, you'd be rolling, you know, because you got the whole field to get through. But no, with only 30 players, you can wait till 11:40 in the morning. Kind of take your time. It's casual. It's, you know, yeah, except it's $10 million.
So you don't call your stepdad dad? You call him George?
Well, I was how old when they got married? I was 20, I don't know, 25 maybe.
You don't even call him Pops?
I was like 25.
No, I'm just saying. You don't call him Pops.
No, because he was also Father George to his congregation.
No, I'm just asking.
You know, and Father George to his congregation. So I didn't even meet him till the day they got married.
Oh, he was kept a secret?
No, I just didn't have a chance to go to Texas to go meet him.
No, but the way when you say it like that, though, John, it kind of makes it like, you know, Miles was keeping him a secret.
No. It's just like I talked to him on the phone a few times, but no. Did you threaten him?
Huh? I mean, I know he's a priest, but did you threaten him? Be like, you better do right by my mama.
He's a priest. No, I'm not going to.
But still, you know, I'm saying. Now, come on, D. You know, if your mother was dating, you would ask certain questions of the dude she's dating, even though they're grown. She's grown, and she makes her pretty good decisions, I'm assuming. You're going to still ask questions, and you're going to let him know that's still your mama. Am I wrong?
Bro, that's a priest.
I'm just saying, it's still your mother, though.
I guess, but I guess I look at it, it's still a respect.
But you still have
factor.
To let, like, even though he's a priest, you still have to let him know
in
your own way.
My mama's a grown
way.
Woman at that point.
Yeah, but
he was
that's
25.
Still your mama. That's still your mama. You got to hold up, dog. That's my mama now. Now, don't hurt my mama. Because, you know, even though you're a priest.
I was going to trust that she was going to make the right decision.
Right.
Put hands on
she
you.
She prayed on it.
I just think that I think that any guy would be in that situation. Maybe it's just me. Maybe that's just the way that I'm wired. But it's still, you know, that's mom, you know?
Oh, no, I mean, if there had been anything wrong, and of course there never was because he's a wonderful man.
No, I'm pretty sure he is, but I'm just saying, it's like, as a guy, that's just like when somebody's dating your daughter, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's different now.
When a dude's dating your daughter, you let him know. Be like,
oh, yeah,
hey,
I mean, she's been hanging around a guy, and I'm kind of like looking at him sideways a little bit.
She's been hanging around a guy, you're looking at him sideways. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, you always got to, like, see, you're going to be funny when it comes to the women in your life, you're gonna be that way. So I just assume that it's, you know, even mom's a grown lady, and you know you're grown, it's still the same thing.
Yeah, see, that's a great thing when, you know, my daughter really gets into serious stuff. I'll just call him up at the phone and go, you and I need to have a talk.
Oh, your radio voice?
Hello. Yeah, do that thing. We had the morning show with John and you on a Thursday. Again, we mentioned the new football team in town, the Atlanta team in the AAF. Mike Vick and the head coach, Brad Childress, whom you know.
Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator with the Eagles when I was there.
And they're going to be in studio during the 8 o'clock hour, but we got so much between now and then. We'll talk Braves coming up in about 10 minutes. If you missed Dan Quinn, we'll replay that. Again, we tell you, the Tour Championship starts today through Sunday. There are tickets available at tourchampionship.com, but it's going to be huge crowds at East Lake for that. They're going to be it'll be sold out at Bobby Dodd Stadium for Clemson and Georgia Tech. Sold out for the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. Western Michigan's at Georgia State. There's a game between Clark Atlanta and Kennesaw State. Two of the old kind of, well, one of the old school and one of the new school teams meeting up at Kennesaw this weekend. And, of course, Atlanta United playing on Saturday night back at home in what will be the third of three games in a week.
Yeah, that's a quick little turnaround, too.
Yeah. So here's what happened late last night as we understand it, because none of us were able to stay up. Maybe you did, and if you did or you're working overnight, you saw the game and what happened. But just reading the story and breaking it down by watching the highlights. So San Jose, which is the worst team in the league, right? San Jose is the worst team in the league, and they're ahead 3-1. And then there's like 20 minutes to go in the game, and they're about to make it 4-1 and shock Atlanta United. And then all of a sudden, a controversial play happens. And Chris Wondolowski scores to make it 4-1 San Jose. But they wiped the goal off because they said during the build-up to that goal, there was a foul at the other end of the field that the video assistant had seen. So they take away the goal from 4-1 and say, no, we have to stop because we have to go back to that point. The foul turns out to be a handball in the box against San Jose. So that means Atlanta United gets a penalty kick. And so as a result, Joseph Martinez scores. Now, instead of being 4-1 San Jose, they take that goal off the board. It's 3-2.
Yes.
Because Atlanta United gets a goal. Couple of minutes later, Miggy gets free in the box on a sloppy play. He scores to make it 3-3. And then they go into extra time, stoppage time. And at the very end of stoppage time, a ball comes through to the box. Joseph heads it in. Atlanta United wins. They blow the whistle. Game over.
You know what's funny? Like, when I woke up this morning and I looked at the box score and I saw it was 3-4, and my first thought was, wow, you know, San Jose put up a pretty good fight last night. Like, you know, they weren't the team that rolled over, because I didn't, you know, just getting up and just not really getting a chance to read the stories just to see the score. You're like, oh, they put up a pretty good fight. That was a pretty – it was a lot hararder than we anticipated it to be. But then after reading the story, it's like, wow. My first thought, and this is the truth, is that now you cannot complain as a fan or as a player of Atlanta United that you've gotten job this year. Because I'm pretty sure San Jose feels like they got jobbed last night.
How do you go back and take a goal away 2 minutes later?
Yes. I know. I mean, something happened 2 minutes. Can you imagine? I was thinking about this. What if that now San Jose is the worst team in the league? And yes, you know, they're not very good, but they put up a good fight last night. If this had been like a semifinal game or something,
it would have been a controversy.
Oh my God!
But not only that, think about all of the stuff that people levied against Atlanta United at the beginning of the year. What was it, the player from L.A. that said that they're the darling of Zata?
Right,
thank you, AT. Zata, he was on it. Zata was talking about how Atlanta United, it was like the Red Bulls, Atlanta United, and another team were like
the
darling.
Hey,
cannot complain. Like, you take this win. And the next time anything controversial happens, you really cannot complain about it. You got to just let it go. Because that is crazy.
But think about it in football. Suddenly you've got the ball and you know, it's, you know, you throw a touchdown pass and they say, well, no, we're taking the touchdown pass off the board. Upon further review, we're going to go back three plays and we're going to award the other team the ball at the goal.
It'll
at the
never
first
happen.
Down the goal. I mean, it right.
It'll never happen.
That's basically
You're
what happened
here. You're
talking
about fans. Oh, my goodness. And betting and all that. Oh, no, that would never happen. It's one of those things, John, where I don't know how you can explain going back 2 minutes into a match and changing the outcome.
Right.
But
this is what they did.
But we have been complaining about certain things that have happened in Major League Soccer all season long, like the VR. Going in VR and looking at certain plays and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Tata has complained about some of the officiating.
Yep.
In a roundabout way. Not specifics, but in a roundabout way. So you've benefited greatly from this last night.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, huge win for Atlanta United.
Yes.
Which, by the way, a couple of things about this. Atlanta United down 3-1, should have been down 4-1, ends up winning 4-3. Atlanta United extends its lead in first place in the East because of that, and then heads home to play Real Salt Lake on Saturday night. This is the first time in Atlanta United history, and granted, we're only into the late stages of year two, first time they've ever come from behind two goals to win a game. They've never done it before. And yes, Joseph got two more last night. He now has 30. By the way, the world record, all those European leagues, 34. He got an outside shot to tie that. We're talking about Messi's one of the players that owns the world record for professional soccer. When we get back, what happened with the Braves yesterday? A win. What could happen with the Braves with the Phillies tonight and where they stand? Told you it's going to be a busy Thursday.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Monday through Friday.
Swap things where you check your...
At the freaking goal line.
We're going to fill 5 hours of radio. You're going to love it.
And all through the weekend.
Football is easy. Coaches make it hard.
Just let me be a man.
The game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This huge, busy weekend's already begun with the Braves beating the Cardinals yesterday, dropping their magic number to 6. Atlanta United winning a controversial game in San Jose last night, but when they did, 4-3, first time they've ever come back from a two-goal deficit to win a game. The Tour Championship begins today, first tee times at 11:40, Tiger off the first tee at East Lake at 12:30. We have NFL football tonight with the Jets and the Browns, Hugh Douglas.
Well, John, you crazy.
Hey, are you sticking with your pick that
yeah,
if it's Brown, flush it down?
I have to.
Yeah.
If it's Brown, flush it down. Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl, yes.
Yeah.
Taking
what, Wendy?
Just Hugh, if it's
no, John, that was John. That was
Meet the Fockers,
that
right?
That was John.
It was Dustin Hoffman. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Meet the Fockers, Dustin Hoffman.
So I'm still ride with the Browns tonight. I don't know how much of the game I'm watching. I'm watching at least to the half.
Watch the whole thing, Hugh.
Wendy,
because you need to see if the Browns win their first game since 2016.
I need to be a part of that.
2016, you've got to see it.
Yeah, I need a part of that.
You got to see the Browns brown.
Yeah,
with the Browns new kicker. Who is the Browns new kicker this week? Because Dan Bailey got signed by the Vikings, right? The
Browns, yes. Yeah, he did.
Some guy off the street down in the
Cleveland?
Flats.
Yeah, because I know that in New Orleans they were auditioning. They were auditioning some people's.
His name is Greg Joseph. Will be the new Browns kicker.
Today. Ever heard of Greg Joseph? Anybody? Anybody Bueller?
Well,
anybody?
Has a chance.
Yeah. Okay.
He can't do any worse.
Yeah, he has a chance.
Not much.
The Braves magic number is 6 this morning, and here come the Philadelphia Phillies to town. Like I said, it's mind-blowing how big this weekend is. The Braves can clinch the NL East, Hugh Douglas, with 4 games with Philadelphia. If they win 3 of these 4, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if they win 3 of the 4, they clinch the NL East before they go on the road. How about we do that?
Yeah, I don't think Philly's going to go quietly into the night, though. You say 4 games this weekend. I honestly think it'll probably go 2-2. Probably go 2-2.
You know, at this point, a split would put them so close that maybe that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. 2-2, and then you go on the road again, and you got to beat the Mets, and it's probably still going to come down to the last 3 games against the Phillies.
Well, yeah, again, wouldn't it be nice, though, take 3 out of 4?
Yeah.
You lock it up. And then
because, you know, the Phillies aren't going to – I don't see them going quietly into the night, especially when it's a head-to-head and they are in position to control their own destiny. Now, when you go play the Mets, it's really not a whole lot you can do about that. They still have to take care of their business, but when you meet up again, that's mm-hmm. when I think is going to be decided.
Right. And then, the Phillies, for the Phillies, they have to think about, you know, they'd have to almost win out and have the Braves almost lose out, I mean, at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're at the point now where if you're the Phillies, your back is against the wall, and you are in position to, in essence, control your own destiny. Same thing with the Braves, mm-hmm. but I just don't see the Phillies going that quietly. Especially knowing that they got these head-to-heads against Atlanta towards the end of the season.
There's a couple of pieces of good news from the game yesterday afternoon against the Cardinals. Not only did the Braves snap their 4-game skid, winning 7-3, but there was one guy in particular who seemed to find his game.
Fly ball well hit left center field. Bader on the run at the track. Hey, it's out of here. Have the Braves needed that from Freddie Freeman? A 2-run homer, and Atlanta strikes first.
Chip Carey on Fox Sports South, and this time it stood. Tuki Desott pitched fairly well, and the Braves then got a bit of a break from the Cardinals to kind of put the game out of reach.
And a little chopper hit to the left side. Jerko flips to second one. The throw to first is terrible. That ricochets off the Braves' dugout, and scoring from second is Inciarte. The Cardinal defense hurts them again, and Atlanta takes a 6-2 lead.
Yeah, and they went 7-3, and Freddie Freeman talked about the fact that this was big for the Braves.
It's nice to know what winning feels like again. It's been 4 days, so I thought this was a big win for our team. I thought we played a quality baseball game today, and hopefully we can carry that into this Philly series.
Right, so Freddie Freeman says after the game too, Hugh, that he had gone down and he was so frustrated. Remember, we said, look, Freddie, you got to kind of step up here if you're going to be Mr. MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know what was going on. So he went down to the cage underneath the stands there and was working on his footwork, and he said, it was like the light bulb went off. Mm-hmm. He said, I see what I'm doing wrong. And so he went out yesterday, went 3-for-3 with a home run. It's like he figured it out. If Freddie's figured this out, oh, yeah, that's good.
Well, it's the best time to do it too, John. I mean, if you can get hot, it's all about the playoffs now. You have, what, 7 games left in the season? What's the math? 7 9. Is it 9 or is it 9?
It is 10.
Excuse me. Almost close. It was close.
Yep.
But you got 10 games left in the season. This is the time that you want to get hot. This is the time that you want to start to get everything working well. And if that's the case with Freddie Freeman, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great getting ready for this playoff run.
And, of course, Kevin Gausman will pitch tonight against the Phillies' Vince Velasquez at SunTrust Park, a 7:30 first pitch. See, one of the great things in this 4-game set against the Phillies, if this is a kickstart, because this is what we said, don't panic, because the Braves have done this time and again. They got swept by the Red Sox, they went on the road and immediately won 6 out of 7. Because that not only did they get swept by the Red Sox, but Hugh, a lesser team that was more fragile, the way they lost that last game to the Red Sox when they, you know, blew the big lead, and then Freddie had that dramatic home run to give him the lead back, and then to lose it to, of all people, you know, Rodan High on that monster home run that he hit, to have Brandon Phillips do that to you, that could have broken some lesser teams.
Yeah, but it's been like that for them all year long, John. Right. They've been real resilient. And you know what's funny? When I hear you talk about relaxing and don't panic, you seem to come. You are the guy that comes to mind, because when we were sitting here
talking
about
it,
yeah, I know. You're talking yourself off the ledge, because you were the only one that was panicking. Because for me as a Braves fan, watching this team all season long, it's been like that. You know, they have those miscues and those missteps, but they always find a way to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And even against the Red Sox, they looked like they were not prepared for that moment when they got swept. No, that's not a good word. Not prepared for the moment. Let me take that one back. They just looked like
they were
at that
above
point,
their pay grade.
The Boston looked like the seasoned team.
Right.
They looked like a veteran team. That's a better word. Veteran, mm-hmm. More of a veteran team. But they learned from those mistakes and they bounced back. I think the great part about this season is, for me, is that when they have slumps or whatever you want to call them, is that they don't let, number one, they don't stand them long,
mm-hmm.
and number two, they learn from the mistakes that they've made fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like one of those things where, you know, you're learning from it and you're sitting at home and like, dang, I should have did this better. You're learning on fire. Perfect example, Freddie Freeman yesterday, mm-hmm. with his footwork.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Perfect example. And the Braves, you know, they're resilient, and Brian Snicker said this all year, and every time we've said, uh-oh, they've turned around and done something really good. And so hopefully that's right now, because how nice would it be for them to be able to take 3 out of 4? Heck, let's just win Thursday, Friday, Saturday, take the first 3, and then Sunday becomes irrelevant because you've already clinched by – they could clinch by Saturday night if they win the first 3. If they win Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they'll clinch the division. And so go ahead and clinch this division with Philadelphia in town. That way it's already in the bag when you go to New York and you go to Philadelphia to end this season.
That would be great.
And that would allow you, Hugh, this grand luxury of resting your starters.
I don't know about that. I think that this team, the way that if they get off to that hot start towards the end, or keep that hot streak going towards the end, I don't know about resting. I think that you need to ride the hot hand. This is where rest versus rust comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think that with – Freddie Freeman looking like he's starting to come out of what he was in, that you kind of want to keep that momentum going a little bit.
And for their pitching, you know, to be able to, you know, but you could call up a Kobe Allard or a Bryce Wilson and give him a spot start, you know what I'm saying, and take the load off of Newcomb or Tehran or Folty. So that would be a good thing. It'll be interesting to see what they do, you know, if they can clinch before they go on the road. And that would be my preference. Now, we'll take a clinch at any point. But the last thing, I think that the only thing I don't want to have happen, Hugh, is they play 4 against Philadelphia, then they play 3 in New York against the Mets over those next 7 games before the final 3 in Philadelphia. They have got to have this clinch before they go to Philadelphia for those final 3. You do not want this to be up in the air. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you.
Yeah. You don't want Philadelphia to have any chance going into that final 3 game.
Honestly, set. I think it's probably going to play out like that. I just have that feeling, and I said this weeks ago. I didn't know how true that it would be, that it would be that close, but it might come down to the last 3 games.
It may. If it does, that does not necessarily bode well.
Because we're kind of like, honestly, John, we're kind of overlooking the Mets a little bit in this whole situation.
Right, because they've been playing
the
baseball.
The Mets might be inclined to want to try to play spoiler.
I'm sure
at that point.
Yeah.
Definitely want to play spoiler at that point.
You know, because the old
if
know,
we can't have it,
old bad blood.
Then you can't have it, yeah.
Right, exactly. If we can't have it, then you can't have it kind of thing. You know, that's well put. And so let's get this thing done now, okay? You know, even a split with Philadelphia puts the magic number at 2 going on the road, and the odds greatly favor you in that point. You know, and all Philadelphia has to do is lose once, and you win once, and you're division champs. But I don't want to have to rely on anybody else at this point. Just go ahead and get it done yourself.
All on you.
All on you. We are talking about the Braves and Atlanta United. This is what happened last night with the Braves yesterday winning 7-3 over the Cardinals. Atlanta United winning late last night in a controversial win 4-3 over San Jose. And the Braves and Phillies tonight, as this weekend really ramps up, because I'm getting excited to go out to the – I'm taking the folks out to the golf course today. As soon as the show's over, we're rolling down to East Lake to go park ourselves. And again, you know, with the late tee times, we don't have to necessarily rush that much.
Because, that's good. That's great that you get a chance to hang out with your mom and go watch golf and, you know, eat sandwiches.
It's going
to
be
Yeah, it's always like that before it gets starts. The weather starts to change.
Man, it was 94 yesterday. It's gonna be 93 today.
Yeah,
man,
beautiful thing.
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, sitting in the stands in 93 degrees.
No, you know what? Let me tell you what I appreciate being here in the city of Atlanta is like when we went to Philadelphia for that first game of the season with the Philadelphia Flyway with Ackerman.
Oh yeah,
it was fall already. And it was kind of cool. As a matter of fact, that Saturday, when it rained, it was like 60 degrees.
Wow.
I appreciate the fact that we're still flirting with summertime in September. I really, really do.
Dan Quinn and the Falcons get ready for the invasion from you-know-who and you-know-where. We spoke with the coach yesterday. If you missed the interview, we'll replay it next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on this busy Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So welcome into the program. The head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, joins us live this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, coach.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Hugh.
How you doing this morning?
Ready to roll, man. Prep underway, and we're excited to get this week's preparation in, man. And we're really looking forward to getting back at home in front of the crowd. It was cool to see them light it up in the way that they did in our first division game, and now we need to turn it up even more.
You know, we would certainly want to talk about the Saints and everything that's going on, but I do want to go back, just touch on one thing last week. Coach, for you, how big was it to win that game, this rivalry, you know, the division opener? How big was that for you and your team?
Well, we knew going into this season and last two that this division is going to be hard fought, battling for it. And so that was just the first one of them. And so we know as you go through this division, all of them have a special spot. And so it was hard fought, as much like we expected it to be. And oftentimes those ones go right down, you know, to the end in the fourth quarter. And so it was good to see the guys, you know, finish the way that they did.
Yeah, there's no question. Your team is no doubt resilient. Coach, how did Duke Riley grade out last week?
You know, we were pleased with the production standpoint, Hugh. I think he ended up with, you know, 9 or 10 tackles. There's definitely a few things to clean up from a consistency standpoint. He had one missed tackle that ended up being a touchdown later on in the game. So I'd say there's some on-the-job training, but by and large, I loved how he communicated, loved how he controlled all the, you know, the front. And they have a difficult scheme, especially in the run game. So I was pleased to see that. And so he's going to keep getting better and better as we're going. He's really into it. You guys have been around him some. You feel his energy and his intent. So I thought for his first extended role, he did a nice job.
How are Tack and Derek Shelby mending up, Coach?
Yeah, so Tack and Derek, you know, both left. And so we're going to treat both of them as day-to-day. You know, as we go through parts of walkthrough or not, you know, what can they do? But that's kind of where we're at right now, Hugh, with those guys. We're just going to give them all the time they need to see if we can, you know, get them back and up, you know, for this weekend.
All right, we're talking with Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Go ahead and expound on that, Coach. Give me kind of the Wednesday rundown on your team, if you can.
Sure. Well, I guess the big news was that we were really, you know, bummed for Andy Levitre. He's such a good guy, and as good as a player he is on the field, he's as impactful off the field. And so since we traded for him back in 15, what a good leader he's been, what a consistent guy he's been. So we're really bummed that, you know, he injured his tricep and would be out. Wes Schweitzer will take over that role, just like he did in the game on Sunday. You knew how I feel about Wes and the battle he put in with Brandon at the right guard spot. I thought he came in and did a nice job at the left guard spot. But that was the big news for us. We're disappointed for Andy. We're fortunate that we have a player of Wes's caliber, you know, who's got plenty of starting experience to step in. But still, we're all disappointed for Andy. We love him, and so we're really bummed for him.
You know, we're talking with head coach Dan Quinn. And how great was it to see last week, you know, the return to that kind of MVP level of Matt Ryan? Everything he was doing, I mean, did you hold your breath when he went to the end zone and, you know, spinning around and getting tackled and all that kind of stuff?
No, that's the competitor. You guys know that. When he sets his jaw and he goes for it, he is all in 100% of the time. So, you know, for all of us, not just Matt, we all have a standard that we want to play to, coach to. And so it was good to see, you know, him have a good game, really rock solid. I thought, you know, kind of behind the scenes, the story, I thought the offensive line, you know, did a good job, you know, the run game, the play action, and keeping Matt clean. Those are a big part of all of us playing well. You know, I thought that was a, you know, underlying behind the scenes, the offensive line.
You know, there's no question offensive line played well, Coach, but you had to get a little nervous when you see your quarterback out there running, spinning, taking those hits. I know you get nervous when you see that.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to see the helicopter going around for him spinning, but you know, those are the moments that you know, you do go battle for it and go. So you know, we're not putting in the zone read or anything for him anytime soon, but I do love his competitive style.
Dan Quinn joining us this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We already know, Coach, my mantra, this is just mine, not anybody else, just as a Falcons fan, no complaints, no excuses. It's what I'm telling the fans. You just got to go forward here. It's already difficult to contain Drew Brees when your team's at 100. But you've got to try to do that now. So how do you try and contain and keep him in a bottle?
Well, it's a big challenge. You know, he's already completing over 80% of his passes, and that's really what makes him so unique, John, is his ability to know where to go with the ball. But it's a number of things that you do that. It's disguise, consistent pressure, you know, good tackling, you know, all of that, you know, factors in, you know, the way they feature, you know, the players with Thomas, you know, that and Kamara, like how do they feature the guys? He's a terrific competitor, and so through the years, we love competing against him and New Orleans. You know, their offense is really intact. They've got an excellent system, much like we do defensively. And so it's head-to-head, battling for it, and it's why coaching and playing in the NFL is so much fun for these kind of matchups.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know what, Coach, I know you touched on it a little bit earlier in the interview, but how big was the crowd participation in that game last Sunday against the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, it was really big, and I think it was like exactly like I hoped it would be. You know, lit up at the end of the game, people on their feet. You felt the energy from the crowd, and the players, you know, want to respond and give that energy back. So I couldn't have been more pumped with that. And so now the challenge is let's take it up a notch, you know, for this weekend and see if we can make this stadium, you know, the most difficult to play in, loud, and, you know, just that feeling. We all know what that feels like when you feel that kind of energy in the building. So we're calling on it again, and we'll do our part as a team to help, but it was awesome.
You know, Coach, we've been speaking, Hugh and I and everybody on the station, about Tampa's start to the year. Last year it was, you know, a three-team race. This already looks like it could be a season-long four-team race through this division.
Yeah, I think you always should think that way. And so our mantra is expect the expected. You know, like we expect this to be a hard-fought, you know, NFC South, and it's going to go all the way down to the end, you know, likely. That's usually when good teams are matched up, that's how it goes. So that's a long time away, and so our focus this week is really just narrowed in on just today. You know, can we throw the best practice we've had, all the preparation? We just stay true to this process, John, that we go through to get ready. And so we just kind of do it one day at a time and throw everything we can into today. And then, you know, just all of our focus on the weekend. We'll let the extended stuff for you and the fans to have some good stuff to talk about. But for us and everybody inside this building, it's locked and getting ready for this weekend.
Talking with Dan Quinn about the Saints and Falcons Sunday at 1 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This rivalry, Coach, I know we talk about it a lot, but the more you go on, now your fourth year, do you get more vested in this rivalry, Coach, as you grow? You understand that, you know, the kind of underrated nastiness of this rivalry?
I 100% do, and I think that's what makes it even more fun and more enjoyable because of the fan bases, the players. You know, like in this instance, you know, talking about, like, for instance, even the quarterback, these guys have battled against each other for years, and so those are what make, like, the NFL so much fun, man, to have these kind of rivalries right there for it, and you'll get one at each place each year, and the fans get tuned up for that. So we're up first and at home at our spot. And so let's make the environment, you know, everything it should be for a big rivalry game.
Yeah, talking about this rivalry game, and Hugh, you and I were talking about the front-loaded nature of this schedule, you know, with all these division games up front and what it means to have, you know, games against Carolina and New Orleans, you know, so
yeah, and against the Saints. So, Coach, is everything that happened with the Saints, that's from last year. That's not carrying over to this year, is it? We're good with that. What happened in the past is in the past.
You know what? It's all about the preparation for this game. I think you never forget, Hugh, but we're really focused and ready to get rocking. So we love the matchup. We can't wait for it. So we've got a lot of work to do this week. They're an excellent team, and they've got playmakers, you know, on all three phases on teams. They're a return game. On defense, they've got rushers. They've got good DBs. They've added a linebacker. Offensively, say no more than, you know, Breeze and what Thomas is doing, what Kamara is doing. So they got playmakers all over. We've got plenty of work to do in our preparation.
Yeah, you talk about the matchups here. So what is one, Dan Quinn, what is the one area you think, as you look at this matchup with this team in this game, that you have to excel at this week? Where do you have to be really good to win this game?
I think on both sides of the line of scrimmage, because of the, you know, explosive nature of their offense, the explosive nature of our offense, you know, like both lines of scrimmage, offensive line, defensive line, when you're playing quarterbacks of this caliber, that's usually a real factor in the game. And let's face it, these guys are two of the very best at what they do. And so I always think big guys first, Hugh. And, you know, how can the offensive line, defensive line, that battle that goes within the game, I think that'll be a real factor.
Oh, it always starts in the trenches, John. You know that. That's where the game is won and lost, that in the trenches.
Yeah, down in the trenches. Love it. We look forward to it. Here we go again. Saints and Falcons. Coach, we'll see you a little bit later on today. Do appreciate you taking a few minutes. We're all going to catch our breath and put our foot in the ground and hopefully go. Thanks, Coach.
You got that right. All right, get after, guys. See you later on.
That was head coach Dan Quinn from yesterday. And, of course, we get ready for the Falcons and Hate Week and Saints and all that kind of good stuff. When we get back in a moment, more from the Falcons, what DeMonte Casey said about his ejection last week and what the Saints are saying this morning. Next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.